Our reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. I don't know what page it is on your pew Bible. 1139, thank you. But the words will be up on the screen as well. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with the people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In our series that we're running through over the last couple of weeks, it's a series about being something church. I won't quiz you on what we've done so far, but this morning we're going to be talking about being a loving church or loving fellowship. And we've been doing things differently. So in a moment, Sally's going to come to the front, and I think Chris is going to come to the front. And after that, I haven't really got a clue what goes on. I think it's going to be like a question and answer, but I really don't know. I'm looking forward to it as much as you. But we're going to sing a song, but before we do that, we're going to pray for them. And then after we've sung, I'm going to invite Chris and Sally to come up and do whatever. So, Lord, this morning we just pray for Chris and for Sally. We look forward to what they've prepared, and Lord, we just pray that through the activity that they do, that Lord, you'll challenge us once more as we do things in a different way. Yeah, just pray for the words that you'll bring to us this morning through Chris and Sally. Amen.
Just a word of explanation to start with. Why am I wearing my Burwell Baptist t-shirt rather than my usual jacket and tie? I'm off to do the first shift at Burwell at Large later, and I thought it might just freak people out if they saw somebody in a jacket and tie. You don't see a lot of that these days, so I'd rather worry you why is it dressed down Sunday rather than worry them. Having started to wear it, a lot of people said, oh, I quite like it. It might be the future uniform. I want to welcome Sally Sago, Reverend Sally Sago. Sally and I know each other for a little while now. Sally was formerly a midwife and trained for ministry at Spurgeon's Baptist College. And she's minister at King Street Baptist Church in Thetford. Anybody seen that? Been into Thetford, into the wilds of Thetford? You'll see it there on the high street. They describe themselves as informal and welcoming church with a building in the pedestrian area in the centre of town. Sally's what we call a newly accredited minister, and as such, she's required to have a mentor. Our regional minister, Reverend Beth Poundy, suggested that I might be prepared to fulfil that role, and it's been my privilege to see how Sally's grown and developed in the ministry over the last couple of years. And what a couple of years. If you could put the slide up for me. Those of you that can't see her in the flesh might be able to see her there. And she's pictured there with her husband, Andy, who's with us this morning. When we were thinking about how we might reflect on God's call for us to be a loving fellowship, I immediately thought of Sally and King Street Baptist Church. despite being a small church, next slide please, as they say these days, I could think of several ways in which they were seeking to show love in action and truth, and not just in words and speech. I'm certainly not expecting Sally to tell us what we should do, but simply to share some of what they've been doing and for us to reflect on that for ourselves so that we can think about our own context and what God's been saying to us. Some of you will know that Andy's mother passed away recently because we've been praying for Andy and Sally in our prayer times. So we are particularly grateful to Sally that she's with us this morning. Thank you. I know it's a little terrifying, but I did give you an outline of what we might talk about, so hopefully not too many off-script questions from me. I wanted to start by asking you about Kintsugi Hope. What is it? And if we can have the next slide. Thank you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And how do you say no to your mentor?
Carefully.
It really is a privilege to be here. And it's a real encouragement as well, before I answer Chris's first question. He's assuming I've read his question. it is a real encouragement for us as a church to be invited to share kind of our journey and a bit of our story this morning. So let's get down to it. Kintsugi. How did we get involved?
What is it?
Kintsugi Hope's a charity which has grown tremendously over the last 4 to 5 years. Charity set up by a guy called Patrick Regan, OBE. He always says OBE. And his wife, Diane. And it came out of Patrick's journey, really, through ill health, through struggling with mental health, and a result of what God put on his heart through that journey, to see others find a place of comfort, a place where they feel they're not alone. And one of the catchphrases, I suppose, if you like catchphrases, is it's okay not to be okay. And in our culture, we're not very good at that. If we're not okay, then that's often a sign of weakness. So it's very much trying to tackle the stigma of mental health and well-being. Well-being particularly. We're all made up of many parts. We all have a spiritual side, an emotional side, a physical side, a social side. And they all need to work together. And in the jargon, of course, called holistic view of people. But of course, God doesn't break us up like that, does he? God just sees us as unique and whole. So Kintsugi came out of that, and what they have kind of tried to do is create what they call a movement across the United Kingdom, where churches can partner with the charity. And they will train and give a focus and resources to churches who then kind of recommend their own leaders and provide courses. So essentially, Kintsugi Hope provides and sets up with you courses which last about 12 weeks, well-being focused. The imagery that you see on the screen is from Kintsugi, the art form. I don't know if any of you have come across Kintsugi, some of you are nodding. But in Japan, when a bowl is broken, or a plate, or a cup, the pieces are not thrown away. They're all kept, and they're all glued back together with golden glue. And the cracks and the lines on the logo represent the golden glue and the cracks. So if you're good at imagery, you can see that you can take that imagery of the broken pot being mended with golden glue into how God views us as people. We all come with our scars, we all come with life's journey and what it does to us. And God puts us together. He heals our brokenness. He is in our brokenness. He wants us to be whole. and he is the golden glue. Without those scars, if you like, without that brokenness, we're not who we are. That's what makes us unique. So, yeah, you can kind of see how that all works.
It's a lovely image, isn't it?
It is a lovely image.
And they're regarded not as less valuable, but as more valuable because they've been broken and put back together.
Absolutely. Yeah. The treasure in the scars is kind of the focus. And the positivity of that.
So what led you to that as a fellowship? What led you to become involved in that? Because a small fellowship, obviously, is commitment of time.
Yeah. As God does, there was lots of God incidences. I first heard about the art form. Someone was using it in a sermon, a visiting preacher that came and spoke in our church. And that was kind of the first time I'd come across the actual phrase. And then it kind of kept cropping up. You know how things do if God wants to get your attention. And at my original home church, sending church, if you like, before I went into ministry, the son of our minister there, Joel Harris, he came to preach for us as a visiting preacher, young man in his early 20s. And he works for Kintsugi Hope. He leads on their young people youth side of Kintsugi Hope Charity. And he came to preach, so of course I was talking to him about what he was doing and catching up with him. And so that was another drop of Kintsugi. So I kind of started to look at their website, started to think about it, started to pray about it. What are you saying, Lord? What is this? Why are you leading us to that? So I took that to trustees, asked them to look at the website, asked them to pray about it. Was there something that God was leading us to be part of this movement? And that actually took quite a long time. And this was all pre-COVID. So eventually we kind of said, yes, we think this is something. It fits with our values. It resonates with us to what they're doing. We'd also been on a, how long have you got? I can talk for you. We'd also been on a journey as a church, kind of rethinking what our purpose was. What is it that God wanted us to do as a fellowship? And particularly asking him, what could we do that no one else was doing? Because Thetford, I don't know if any of you know it, Thetford's a very small market town, although expanding on the site. But there are 13 churches. And so you can kind of guarantee that if somebody says, why don't we do this? Then that church around that corner is doing that, or that church around that corner is doing that, or there's three churches doing that. And then if you're not careful, churches, instead of being together, are in competition, aren't they? And that's not, I don't think that's what God calls us to. So, I'm losing my thread a bit, but we've been on this kind of journey asking God what he wanted us to do as a fellowship. And within that, we had gone to someone you might know called Simon Goddard, who of course was regional minister. And Simon set up a consultancy called River Tree Consultancy, missional consultancy. So, and as a church, we'd already taken the decision to journey with him for 2 years to kind of trying to gain an insight into mission and an insight, and if I'm perfectly honest, to kind of change the whole church thinking about what was mission, what was outreach, what is it that a church should be doing. So within that, and because of that journey that we did with Simon, we've begun to think about this meeting needs and how can we meet the needs of our community. And so that kind of all came together, really. And then talking to church meeting, talking to the church members, is this something we should go forward with? And there was kind of a resounding yes, this is something we should do. And kind of at the same time, COVID came along, and even more people's well-being. People were isolated, people felt lonely, people were struggling, people were feeling overwhelmed. So God's timing, as he led us to that point, it was amazing, really.
So what's it look like in practice? How have you used it?
So in practice, we were in lockdown. So two of us, myself and someone else in the fellowship, felt that they wanted to train as leaders. So we did the leadership training and registered as a partner church with Kintsugi. There's a lot of safeguarding involved as well, in as much as, you know, you're working with vulnerable people. So that's kind of another positive thing, really, that you kind of have to have all that in place. But we did the training, and then we prayed hard about what we should do, and we decided that we would start a pilot course inviting members of our own congregation on Zoom. And so we met on a Wednesday evening, and we had, I don't know, 11, 12 people from our congregation who came to be guinea pigs, and it was really amazing how people shared, how people took on board what we were doing. Each week of the course is a different topic. Some of them are quite difficult. Well, depending on your own story, of course, different things are different for different people. Some of the topics, so anxiety, depression, perfectionism, loss, honesty, resilience, healthy relationships, and there's kind of lots of things. So they speak to us all in different ways. But the 12 weeks was really amazing. So we've been going ever since. We did the first group on Zoom. We did a second group on Zoom where we opened it up a bit more. Some people from some other churches locally came, and some more people from our own congregation. And the people who have been in the first group, the idea is you build community and you support one another. It's not an expert group, it's a peer support group, which I think is really important. So it's not therapy, it's not counselling, it's not, you know, expecting to be fixed. It's very much a journeying and a peer support. And the idea that people begin to know each other better and walk and have a willingness to walk with one another. There's also a sense of building a toolkit of different coping strategies and different ways of tackling things through the 12 weeks as well. So it's kind of got that practical side to it as well. And so at the end of the first group, how do we help people to keep journeying together and sharing with one another and kind of reflecting on, you know, well, how have you been this week? Well, actually, I've not been so good. Instead of the, you know, as you come in the door, how are you? I'm fine, I'm okay. We're trying to kind of get rid of that scenario. It's quite difficult because sometimes you just haven't got time to talk, but it's not the how are you, I'm fine, I'm okay. It's very rarely the case. So how did we keep everybody coming together? So initially we were still in lockdown, so we one of the ladies that had been on the course offered to host on our church Zoom a fortnightly meeting for all those who'd done the course to keep coming together and to share. So they kind of kept meeting every fortnight. Meanwhile, myself and other leader started another group, and that kind of went along in the same kind of ways, totally different group. And of course, because it's a peer group, I find I'm learning all the time too. You know, depending where I am, it's speaking to me in different ways. So it kind of, you know, it's a living course. It's not overtly Christian, but it is very Christian. So for our third group, lockdown had finished. So this was the opportunity where we could do more outreach and we could open up to community and we could start to ask people to invite their friends and to bring anyone along in a more kind of a way to outreach. So in a sense, it's not overtly Christian, but as people talk, they want to share their faith. So it becomes a place of people sharing how God helped them. So it becomes an opportunity to reach those who don't know Jesus. So there's these kind of two sides to it, which is just really great.
We've been thinking a lot about fellowship, and you know what you described there is really what the Bible calls fellowship, isn't it? Being honest with each other, loving one another, despite perhaps our difficulties that we're going through, and sometimes because of those difficulties, we show compassion and kindness.
Yeah.
So, thank you for that. And so, I guess as you reflect back now, you're pleased you've done it.
Yeah, I think we are very pleased we've done it, and the really exciting part of it is that so the first lady who was helping me to lead had to step down because of family circumstances, and God raised up one of our younger members. She's 23 and she's leading, and she's led alongside me on the last two, which is absolutely wonderful, because again, leaders should reflect, shouldn't they? Kind of groups, if you like. So it means that we're much more able to be all age. And we have had from 18 to kind of 70 odd, whatever, which is still quite young, I know. But it gives that big age range. So I think that's really good that Catherine's now leading with me. And I was away this week and she was leading without me. So praise God for that.
Yeah.
So we get discipleship in there as well. Which is again, you know, how God's calling us to be as a fellowship. But so as people have joined this two weekly video or Zoom group, but as we've come out of lockdown, the people who have already done the groups have started to meet face to face, and we began to feel called to open our building to use it for a wellbeing space. So. Eight people, two people who've kind of stepped up to lead, met from September last year in the building to just pray into the space, to ask God what he envisioned as this wellbeing space, to think about how that might look, as well as kind of the wider church praying as well into that. And in October, at the end of October, we opened what we're calling the sanctuary. It takes place in our sanctuary, and we opened our sanctuary from 10 till 12 every Thursday morning with kind of a team of 6 to 8 people who've all done the Kintsugi course, and they have one guy is a brilliant artist, so he's got paints out and he's got a table with paints. They've got jigsaws, they've got kind of table talk cards, and they've got all sorts of others. And then somebody said they wanted to learn to crochet, so somebody said they would teach them. So we now have this group who are all learning to knit and crochet. So it's beginning in these, and it took a few weeks, but this last couple of 3 to 4 weeks, we've really started to feel the excitement and the energy as people are beginning to come in, as people are beginning to bring their friends. So I think that's been behind a lot of what we're doing. Where is it that I can bring my friend? Where is it that I can bring my family? Where is it that I can show Jesus' love for other people? Where is it I can walk with and just be alongside? And that's kind of how it's going. So, yeah.
Great. Yeah, sometimes I use the phrase crossing places, where you bring believers and unbelievers together in that sort of... You know, sharing of gifts both ways, isn't it, really? But thank you for that. I've got lots more, but I want to give the congregation an opportunity to ask. Is there anything you'd like to ask about Kintsugi Hope? And anybody familiar with it from the past or come across
it? Do you have any groups for teenagers?
We don't, because sadly we don't have any teenagers, and we don't have these. The groups to or the people to lead that, but Kintsugi does do groups for teenagers, and that's what Joel Harris does, and he will facilitate. And I think there's talk in one of the schools in the town. I think he's in talks with one of the schools for hopefully to be able to start to have a Kintsugi group for teenagers in the town. So they're very keen, and they've already been into universities, which is really good too. But there's a real recognition that young people have been struggling just as much as adults. And so whereas we're not feeling that's where God's leading us, there are places where we can signpost people, which I think is really important. So yes, there is, but not exactly what we're doing.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I wanted to ask you about one other thing, and I'll try and be a little quicker on this one. I wanted to ask you about Sunday lunch. So if we have the next slide. This is what we're going to be getting afterwards.
Yeah.
Not quite. Yeah. I know that you are able to join us today because you're having lunch at your church, so that means you're not able to have lunch with us afterwards, sadly. But it does mean that you're able to come at all, so we're glad that you're free to come. So tell me, why did you start exploring having Sunday lunch, and how's that working out in practice?
Do you remember that time in lockdown where it felt like it was going to go on forever?
Well, last week.
That people started to talk about recovery. People started to talk about, what will church look like once we emerge from all this? What will the new way of being? Will church have changed? Will it go back to what it was? And we were kind of prompted as a leadership team to start thinking about that quite a while ago. And so we had lots of conversations about, what would church look like? Did we want to go back to the same pattern and rhythm on a Sunday? And I think in this way, you have to bear in mind that COVID was really busy for church leaders and leadership teams. And talking with Beth Powney, regional minister, who came to preach at our church recently, she was saying that that is a feature that she has noticed across the churches. And we resonated with that, that there is a tiredness. And for many churches, some of the leaders are burnt out. And we're a very small church. We're very short on people resources, people who are able. And
you're part-time.
And I'm part-time.
Supposedly.
Yeah. So it kind of was born out of, where are our strengths? What are our values? What's worship? And what is God calling us to do? Did we want to put all our energy into what has been the identity of the church and still is? Our identity is very much a worshipping church, and that's really important. And there were lots of ideas about what we should do and how we should open the building. But somebody, I can't remember who, came up with this idea of, because I'd kind of muted and been kind of saying, do we want to have every Sunday as a worship service in the morning? That was something God had put on my heart. And somebody came up with the idea of, if we're all at church on a Sunday, surely that's where our energy is. We're used to being at church on a Sunday. We're used to giving time on a Sunday. We're used to being together. And being together is being church. And so this lady said, why don't we not have a service? And why don't we just do lunch? Because people can be preparing it in the morning. They're not trying to do a service and preparing. And we can use our strengths. We can be welcoming. We can also be very missional in that. And it's taken us kind of a while to get round to how that would look and how that would work. And we took it to church meeting, which is very interesting. And yes, there were voices. As we were saying, look, we're kind of thinking God's calling us to not have a service one Sunday a month, third Sunday of the month. We won't have a service. We will just meet after 11 o'clock. You can come for coffee, but at 12 o'clock there'll be a meal served. It will be free. You can bring anybody along that you want to bring. We'll have the doors open. Anybody you meet in the week, you can bring along. And there were voices as we went round. Who thought of that? Whose stupid idea was that? Whatever next. But, you know, that's the beauty of church, isn't it? We don't all agree. But when God wants us to try something, being gracious enough to give it a go is really what church is all about, isn't it? And we're very grateful, because even though we could see some of those people thought it was awful and they were not going to have a morning where they were singing, it was dreadful, but they have come to every church lunch that we have done, and they have supported. And what we said was, we'll do it for 6 months and we'll review it. And, you know, if it doesn't work, if people aren't unhappy, then, you know, we'll think again. So we kind of snuck one in last September on a church weekend that was open to anybody and everybody. And then since then, we've done October, November, December, January, February and today. But we did review it in January at our church meeting. And again, as one of our leadership group said at the church meeting, this has been the biggest outreach that we have done as a church in her memory, and she's been in the church for over 25 years. So people are able to bring their non-Christian spouses. People are able to bring their sisters. People are bringing their neighbours. On a Thursday morning in the sanctuary, we're able to say, why don't you join us for lunch, to people who are lonely and who are on their own. And people are coming from that. People are coming from one of the groups where they walk together, and a couple of people are coming from that. So in that sense, we're able to, you know, I've got lots of buzzwords, but so some of our kind of values and our kind of buzzwords, if you like, are we're being relational, we're being welcoming, we're being invitational, we're being, we're giving hospitality, we're sharing the love of Jesus like he did in eating a meal together. Because Jesus didn't always have a service, you know, he didn't have a service before he said to Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house to eat tonight, you know. So that's where we are. And it's a blessing. We're trying to keep it simple. It's not a posh three-course meal with, you know, it's two people volunteering every month to say, I'll make a meal, and, you know, and just putting food on a plate. And sometimes, well, quite often actually, we've said to people, bring desserts. So people in the fellowship have brought desserts. So it's just a main course. And we cater for 40. Actually, Christmas, we had 46. Interesting. Loaves and fishes. And 13 of those people were people we didn't know.
And it's ever so natural then to have your carol service connected with that, wasn't it? So that people...
Yeah, that was scary though. So it was scary, because as we finished, we kind of planned this carol service afterwards. And there was a little bit of a gap. And as we were moving the tables and getting ready for kind of the carol service, everybody put their coats on. And I thought, oh no, everybody's going. And we had a carol service afterwards. And the congregation changed. And all these other people came in. And a lot of them we didn't know. So it was, God's really kind of, you know.
I sometimes talk about how I've discovered that you sow in one place. And you're looking for the growth there, and God surprises you because he brings it from over here.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything over there. Where did that come from?
No.
God does.
So it's been really encouraging, and I think within that, that helps us to know that that's what God's calling us to, isn't it? It gives us that confidence.
Let me ask again, has the congregation got any questions around Sunday lunch and this shocking idea of not having a service? We're doing both today.
Have you seen your congregation grow on your not regular Sundays, or is that still the same?
Yes, we have. As I say, we're quite small. So our regular Sundays would be about 30, 35. But we have seen some people who haven't come back after COVID, not many, and people who were very much on the fringes. But we have seen new people coming in, and they're kind of joining in with the sanctuary. And it's interesting, it's new people who are bringing their friends. So particularly I'm thinking of two people who were brought to us through Kintsugi because they wanted to be equipped more to deal with some of their family. So they came along and they kind of weren't settled in a church anywhere. They said they didn't want to settle in a church anywhere. And this was kind of last September. And since then, they've started attending every Sunday. They brought two people to the lunch at Christmas. Those two people who came at Christmas have started to bring their son, who's a Muslim, and their grandson. He's just now become our drummer. And so it is how God's working, you know. And so, yeah, it's been a real encouragement.
Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to bring that to a close there. And before you rush off, though, I'm going to give an invitation for people to pray. You've heard a little of what's happening at King Street, and you know what's been going on in Andy's life and in Sally's life.
Can I just interrupt you a second?
Yeah, please do.
I've given you all the very positive side of it. It's not without its challenges, and it's not without the who's going to step up this month. So don't want you to get the feeling that it's all kind of rosy, because church isn't all rosy, is it? It's hard work, but it is really encouraging.
Yeah. Thank you.